You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
If you would, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians every Sunday. So, same verses, which talks about the grace that we get comes through the Lord Jesus. Let me read it to you. It says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then the next verse says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. On me is a greater judgment than anybody in the room, a more strict judgment on me. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. Thanks for your prayers. I'm not well, but just a click at a time, I'm getting better. So I want to be able to thank you. When we handle the series that we're going in with grace, and we're hitting it on Sunday mornings, we're hitting it on Wednesday nights, and you're going, what does that have to do with Easter and Lent, especially a time of Lent where we are remembering to be generous and to pray and have devotion, and then also to be fasting. Somebody asked me, what are you fasting from now? And I said, pneumonia. I said, I'm fasting from germs and pneumonia. What does it have to do with anything? Well, it is the picture of this is it's all the work of Christ. Not us, it's all his work. And we recognize what he has done on the cross and then the power of the resurrection. So just to back up, if you're new with us today, we've been going through this series of grace, and I'm not going to assume everybody's been with the series. That's why I repeat things a little bit and hopefully give you the order, even if this is your only Sunday with us. But we get to grace, and a definition of grace is it's undeserved favor to us. We didn't earn it. He didn't give us grace because of our family name. It's not like some royalty, and it just becomes a generational rite of passage. It's his love for us. It's his goodwill extended to us. And you and I have no hope without the grace of God. And so it leads to salvation. We know we've handled that one Sunday. Grace leads to salvation. And then that salvation leads to a point of faith where you and I have a moment in our life where we put our faith and trust in Christ. We realize the person that revealed grace to us is the person that has the ability to be able to save us. And we put our faith and trust there. We handled this last Sunday. That moment that you put your faith in the Lord is called justification. That very moment. Big old church word, what does it mean? It means you're declared not guilty. It's all like you're in a courtroom and the judge sees that you're with Christ and he says that you are not guilty. It's all moved away from you. So when we get past this justification part that we handled last Sunday, we have three processes in being saved. And you all should know this. It's helpful to you just to be able to have conversations with people instead of having it all put in one pile together. You can break it up and to see how salvation works. And so I've given you this picture, and then you can put it on the screen, where justification moves to sanctification, moves to glorification. And we've handled justification. I'm not guilty. Today we're handling sanctification. Next Sunday we're handling glorification. But these are all steps. The Apostle Paul went through all these steps. Every disciple you've read about in Scripture went through all these steps. It's everybody who's ever believed goes through all three of these steps. All of us, none of us, all of us do this. So where we're putting, and I hope you're putting this together, that moment of faith that I have is a moment where I'm declared not guilty. I'm justified by the Lord. And now today we're handling sanctification. I want you to look at John 17:17 for just a moment. And this is the prayer of Jesus. This is a Gethsemane prayer. And if you ever read it, we used it a little bit Wednesday night, not this verse, but just the chapter. The whole chapter is a prayer. You know, I was taught all my life not to pray for yourself. Y'all heard that? It's wrong to pray for yourself. You should pray, but don't pray for yourself. It's wrong. Do you know the majority of chapter 17, the beginning of it, is Jesus praying for himself? Contrary to what I heard growing up, it's just selfish for you to pray for yourself. Shame on you. You know, and the whole part of the first part of that prayer is Jesus is praying for himself. The middle part of the prayer is he's praying for his current disciples. And then the last part of that prayer is he's praying for all of us who are yet to believe. But in this prayer, he says to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify means set apart. He asked the Father to set us apart. From what? Well, from the world. Set us apart from the world, from the power of sin. Actually, the word sanctuary comes from the word sanctify, meaning this is a place that is set apart to where we meet and we worship the Lord. The Holy Spirit, why is he called the Holy Spirit? Why is holy before his identification or part of his identification? The reason we call him the Holy Spirit is the word holy means set apart. And he is set apart from all other spirits on this earth because there are other spirits on this earth. And he is called Holy Spirit because he's set apart from all the rest of the unseen world. The Holy Spirit is set apart by God. So being sanctified means you're being set apart. It's this area of spiritual growth in your life. One of the words today is spiritual formation, which we believe in. It's this process of going from faith to the time of going to glory. It's a shaping time. It's a sculpting time. And what's the shaping and the sculpting doing? It's molding us into the image of Christ. That is the goal. The goal is to be formed in the image of the Lord. Every time I'm in the Word of God, every time I'm in a devotion, every time I'm under the preaching of His Word or the teaching of His Word or even the reading of His Word, it's another time for Him to shape me. If you want to look like you're this big slab of rock and the Lord is chiseling out who you are and you're going, well, wonder what I'm going to look like. Well, what the Holy Spirit is going to make you look like is the image of Christ. So he's always doing that. That's why we need to be in the Word, under the Word, have it a part of our life. I've told you, our kids growing up, our house was held together by Post-it notes. Julie had the Word of God on every mirror, would put it on the kids' steering wheels, stick it on their mirror, the rearview mirror. It was so annoying to them that I'd go everywhere and I'd see these Post-it notes where Julie would have the Word of God put. It's a constant shaping and a chiseling and a sculpting of our life. And you and I, we don't run from that. We welcome that. In this point of sanctification, it's a shaping time. And it's shaping us into the image of Christ. And sanctification is present tense. It's now. I've been getting into some of our older music lately. I've been listening to Mike and the Mechanics, okay? I know some of you have never heard of them. I get it. But you've probably heard some of their songs. But they have a song where there was written about one of the band members' dad had passed away. And there were just a lot of things he wished he'd have said to his father while he was alive. In that, it is the name of the song is In Those Living Years. And some of you may know that song. That's what sanctification is. It's the living years. It's right now in our life. If you need a strong process of this, justification is I am saved. But sanctification is I am being saved. It's this process of me growing into the image of Christ. And it's a present tense. Justification is a past tense, meaning I had to go back to the cross. I had to go back to the work of Christ to be found not guilty, because his penalty, his payment was my payment. It was my sentence that he carried out. And so I go back to the cross and realize what he has done for me. Sanctification is Jesus school, okay? It's kingdom school. It's abundant life school. That's what sanctification is. And it's this lifelong process. It's those living years of our life. I want you to look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 for just a moment. For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people. And then here comes the sanctification, verse 12, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, did you hear that? Sensible, righteous, and godly way in this present age. So we've got justification in verse 11, and then in verse 12, we've moved to sanctification. It's how do we live this life out? Well, it's a time of him instructing me. What's he instructing me to do? To deny godlessness, worldly lust, and then to live sensible, righteous, and godly. And so we're set apart. The word sanctify means set apart. For what? I mean, and from what? For anything that's profane. Anything that's profane. Anything that's sinful. Anything that would stain your life. Anything that would stain your life. I remember Andrew was a little boy, and he was in his first sleepover at this person's house. And so I sat him down. And I said, these things might happen at this house because these are things little boys are apt to do. And I'll spare you what the list is. So it wasn't long. It was about 11:30. I get a phone call. And Andrew's like, it's like he's a spy and this is espionage, you know. And he's like, Dad. And he goes, how'd you know? And he starts going through the list that I gave him, and he goes, all that's happening. And I said, I'll come get you in just a second, son. I went and got him. I removed him from that. And I removed him from that on purpose. But before he went, I didn't want it to be on his discovery. I want him to know the possibilities of what could take place. Guys, I just want to tell you something. His word is not without warning us on what is around us that we need to avoid. His word is not empty of that. His word is full of that. You know what we do? We just head into it just like we've never heard it. Sad. Becomes very sad. The picture that we're set apart from deny godlessness, we're set apart from sin, staining things in our life. What's this sanctification process do? It drains the world out of you. It just drains the world out of you. And remember, grace gives us the chance to switch masters. It's no longer Satan. It's no longer his demons. It's no longer the world. It's no longer sin. He gives us the opportunity to change masters. And he places his kingdom in our hearts. and we live that. And it's an incredible, incredible life. Sanctification is a lifelong, continual process. It is those living years of our life to where the world is just draining out of us. Constantly, continually draining out of us. I've realized that if I'm around something, whether it's on the radio or it's a conversation or whatever, and I feel it pushing my buttons, and we all have those buttons, I back out of it. I just start backing out of it. Because we'll end up doing something or saying something we probably shouldn't say. It's just remove yourself from those situations and be careful of that. You're light and salt. You're light and darkness. You're flavor. Salt is flavoring. You're salt to a world that has no flavor. We get to thinking that the world has the flavor. No, it doesn't. It's tasteless. The kingdom has flavor. And so we become light and salt to that whole picture. So it's placing the kingdom in our hearts. Look at Acts 20, 32 for just a moment. And now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. All, and this is this process. We've stepped into faith. And now the Holy Spirit is chiseling us into the image of Christ. It's a sanctifying grace that builds you up. He's not about tearing you apart. He's about building you up. It's sufficient grace, which means it has power. There's power in that grace, and he leads you through. We're going through tough times. A lot of you in this room are going through very difficult times. It's the work of Christ and the grace that we get that empowers us. It is empowerment to lead us through. And not only that, it says here, there's an incredible promise that of in the future, which is really glorification. That's next Sunday's sermon. I'm just leading you into it a little bit, giving you a teaser, okay? And you're led to an inheritance, to a better day, a better inheritance. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 for just a moment. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, lacking nothing. Like James says, ask for advice and ask for God's wisdom. He'll give it to you. And you lack nothing. James 1 is about you lack nothing with him. I go to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, which means I lack nothing in him. And so completely here means lack nothing. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless. And again, we're moving to glorification for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's this eternal promise that's there. You see that. But peace is here and there. It is now and it is forever. And he talks about he is shaping your whole self. He's not just chiseling out this image of Christ on the outside. He's looking to put the compassion of Christ on the inside as well. So what does this mean? I want you to look at Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It can be a verse where people really get misconstrued with this. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, this is those living years, this is sanctification, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, does that say I should dread it? No, but we got to figure it out. We got to learn to figure it out is really what it means. Verse 13, for it is God who is working in you, which is a key verse, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. So this in working in you is very, very important to all this process of what's going on. It's not our works. This is not saying that it's our works. Remember, it's only his work of the cross and even the power of the resurrection that we look at. But it's his works in you. He's not only chiseling you into the image of Christ. He's putting the compassion of Christ in you. It's the time where you figure it out and then you start applying it. You start learning to apply it in your life. How does this take place? Through the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one who is shaping you, using his presence, using the word of God, using God's truth in all those. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8 for just a moment. For God has not called us to impurity, but to sanctification. So sanctification means purification. Therefore, the person who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also gives you his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God is the one who is helping to shape us and to mold us. Let's continue that so that you'll learn it. Romans 12:6-8. And this talks about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us in this whole sanctification process. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standards of one's faith. Verse 7, if service, in service, if teaching, in teaching. Verse 8, in exhortation, which is encouragement, that in exhortation, giving, do it with generosity. Leading, do it with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness. It gives us, how does that happen? Well, we're given gifts by the Holy Spirit in this these living years to be able to live with him. 1 Corinthians 6:11 continues the process. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So in this sanctification process, who is the one who is leading me? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Who's shaping me? The Holy Spirit of God. He's doing that. He's using truth and the Word of God and his presence to be able to do that. Look at Romans 15:15-16. I'm not done, so you just hang on. Okay? Nevertheless, I have written to remind you more boldly on some points because of the grace given me by God. Verse 16, to be a minister of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, to the Gentiles, a people he didn't want to be with. Okay, he was groomed to not like them. Serving as a priest of God's good news. My purpose is that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified, look at this last line, by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will mold them. Do you know when Paul left somebody, Paul never had the thought that he left them alone? Do you know when Paul went in and he started a church, or he got a group of believers together, whenever he left them, he never ever thought he was leaving them alone. He thought he was leading them to the Lordship of Christ, that the Holy Spirit was going to continually shape them using the word that they had in that day, using the word of God and the truth of God to continue. He never thought, oh man, they'll fold because I've left. Paul didn't think that way. He knew that the Lord was there to continually guide you. I want you to look at the church for a lot of reasons. But I want you to look at a church just to give you resources on how you can continue your own sanctification process. Not us do it for you. But how from the Mondays through the Saturdays do you feed your soul with the Word of God? And remember, we say the Word of God is food, not facts. And a lot of us are like, well, let's go Sunday morning and let's let the preacher impress us. Find me something new that I've never heard before. And that's not the process. The process is, what am I hearing today that I know that I need to apply in my life and to let that shape me? And that becomes an ongoing thing every day of your life, whether I'm with you or whether you're in one of our church settings or not. It doesn't matter. That when you are alone with the Lord, none of us ever think you are alone. It's the Lordship of Christ that is shaping you, and it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that continues to do that. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:13 for just a moment. But we must always thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification, and I just want you to see, by the Spirit and through belief in the church and the truth. So it just becomes continual. And the Holy Spirit of God is doing that. That workout that we're talking about, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, respect the Lord, be in awe. What he does is amazing. But this workout is no different than a gym session. You know, you look for a gym session to be productive, to produce. And you're to be serious about it. When you step into faith in Christ, guys, listen, I think this is probably what's wrong with North American church. Personally, this is why I feel, I'll tell you this, my opinion. And that is we'll do a Sunday service or whatever, and we just live life haphazardly, thinking we're going to run into a little bit of this and run into a little bit of that when it comes to God. Or if I don't run into anything about it, that's fine with me too. Let me just tell you something. You should be serious about this, and it should be a point of seeking and searching every day of your life. Every day of your life. It becomes incredible to see how we just bypass it and think we're going to bump into it. That I'll just live my life and I'll bump into it. It's not that at all. It's a picture that you are seeking and searching. It's that old saying, God's working in you so that he can therefore work through you. So sanctification is now. What are you doing for that to occur? How do you schedule and adjust your days so that you are being fed with that? And being fed means you are also being, that he's sculpting your life. Where are you in that? Where do you design your life? I'll just be honest with you. I design mine to where I'm bumping into something to read all the time, scripture-wise or whatever. You know, you can be doing a devotion and it gives you the one verse about the devotion, but just right underneath of it, it gives you all these other verses to read, and you and I will just read the one verse and then just go on through the devotion as quickly as possible. How do I know that? Because I can do that too. But I've stopped doing that and realized that I'm clicking on all the verses that are being included, and I'm going to slow the devotion down and read every single one of them. Not just race through it. It's how do we organize our life? Some of you in the morning, some of you at night. Julie does hers at night. I do mine all through the day at different times of the day. But it is a continual seeking and searching. Could I get to the mind with my education and academics and all those things and being a preacher and go, well, I don't need any personal devotion. That's all I do is prepare something to preach or to teach. Well, that's not true. I need to do things that are personally seeking and searching in my own life. And his grace leads us to this area of obedience. It is fueled by the Holy Spirit of God. Discipleship is a process or a stage. And remember, discipleship is what this is all called. It's you and the Word, and the Word being in you. Those living years from Mike and the Mechanics is a time of obedience. Now, we don't become obedient and then be saved. We're saved and then become obedient. The grace and the salvation that's there leads to an obedience. And this grace, man, in this grace, there are some great times. There are some good times. And man, in this life of sanctification, there are some tough times. And there are some suffering times. And there are some incredible trials. And I just want you to know, when you read about that in Scripture, God is using those two, good times and tough times, to shape you into the image of Christ. He uses everything to be able to shape you. I know we want to dodge suffering. I get it. We want to dodge tough times. We don't go through the life buffet and say, give me the hard times, give me the suffering, give me the trials. We don't do that. I don't think you should do that. But the point is, in these living years, that's going to happen to us. And all those times are still shaping us into the image of Christ, all of them. And he leads us through. And grace gives us the power to be able to do so. And he uses his word and he uses his Holy Spirit to carve out the image of Christ in our life. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 for just a moment. It says, but grow. Okay, you'll probably read past that. I don't want you to, but grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Grow in him. Don't quit doing it. You may say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're not offering enough Bible studies. Folks, you got more Bible studies to read and do on your own time. I mean, you do. And they're self-help more than any other time of our life. Get in them. Dig into those things. I encourage you to do that. If you need some, ask me. I'll help you to be able to find some for you. But plug those things into your life. Are you going to have to adjust your day? Will you have to change your mornings or your evenings? Yes, you will. But it's important for you to be able to do that. Sanctify yourself, Jesus prayed. Sanctify my people and do it with his truth. What's that mean? This whole living years, is he setting you apart? He's totally setting you apart. He's draining the world out of you. He is purifying the world out of you. And he's placing his kingdom in you. It's Jesus school, it's kingdom school, it's abundant life school. It's all those things. All those things. You know, I don't know how much you know a preacher is around death, but I'm around death all the time. If I'm not around it itself, I'm around the conversation about it all the time. It's just a part of a preacher's life. And I just, this week is even a picture of that. And Michael's here. His parents recently passed away. And a funeral there Thursday morning. I came home to another funeral Thursday night. I woke up to another funeral Friday morning. I was supposed to be at one in Campbellsville yesterday. I just wasn't able to do it. And I'm around it constantly. It's either it's going to happen, it's happened, or it's discussions about it. And it can wear on you. I mean, the grief of it all is just there. We all know that. We all understand that. But God uses those times. For me personally, it energizes me. It drains me too. It drains all of us. But then it energizes us to the point that I've got to tell more people how to live and how to be ready and how to go, you know, because the next stage is glorification. And I believe in that. But right now in these living years, I might check Spotify or iTunes to see if the you all have found that song to listen to. Maybe the ratings have gone up just because we talked about it. What's he doing? He's setting us apart. Is he still setting me and you apart? He is. Is he still draining the world out of us? He is. He is. And he'll be doing that until the day we go to glory or the day that he returns. And let him do it, because he's working in you to work through you. What you go through, Scripture says, you'll be able to help somebody else going through those situations. And he just, it is an encouragement there for you. Grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Figure it out. You know, turkey season's upon us, and I can't wait. I really can't wait. I'm driving Julie nuts. I'm watching all these little turkey videos on YouTube at home, and all she's hearing is yawp, 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 yawp. You know, that's all she's hearing all the time. And I can't wait to do that. But you know what? I don't wait till opening morning to learn how to blow a mouth call. You know, I do it all the time. I put that mouth call in. One night I was in Louisville, And I had my windows down. It was a warm day, and I'm just yawking. I'm just yelping. And this lady in this Mercedes Benz pulls up beside me, and she's looking out her window to see what. And I've got both my hands, because I'm using a mouth diaphragm, you know. And I've got both my hands on the wheel, and I mean, I'm just yawk. And she's looking, rolling the window down, going, "What in the world?" And I'm just as quiet as I can be, you know, but I'm blowing that mouth call. I work on that stuff every day. A duck call. Ask Julie. I'm in the garage. You know, hat. You know, she hears all that stuff. Because there's a verse that says, be ready in season and out of season. And I just take that literally. You know, that I've got to, whatever season I got to be ready for. That doesn't happen overnight. It's practice. Man, I'm engaging in it. I'm listening. You're going, why do you watch those old videos? I'm watching live hens yelp so I can mimic them. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. Learning golf or how to change the brakes on your car, you know. I'm going to figure this out. And that's the same way. Grow in him. Listen. Put his word near you all the time. Figure it out. It doesn't have to be the same time every day. Figure it out. How can I let the word of God feed me and purify me and separate me from the world? How can that happen? Realize the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide you. Pay attention to him. He's not going to lead you into something crazy. He's going to lead you, and it's going to be according to truth. That's all he can do, because he's the Spirit of truth. And learn to rely on that. Do you receive that today in these living years? Let him shape you. He's not done. He's not finished with any of us until the day of glory. Peter says, that's when everything will be at its peak. And let him shape. Let's commit to that today, okay? In these years, these living years, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today, and I love them. For all these years, you've called me to shepherd these folks and people. And Lord, today I just pray your Holy Spirit fill us, Lord, and even convict us of where we are and where we need to be in you. Even convict us on how to rearrange things, Lord, to be constantly fed by your word and your presence and your truth. Seeing that your word is food and not just facts and information. And what I need to change in my life, Lord, I pray that over our people. I trust your lordship, Lord, in what you're doing. I pray for the boldness of our people to obey. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and that we pray together. Amen. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. You may want to come be prayed for, be prayed with, or be prayed over. You come. Church, would you stand when you do that? Counselors, find your place in the altar. The team's going to lead us. You respond.